All right, thank you. Let's open our Bibles, Old Testament, book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, actually about the last chapter of 1 Samuel, and then you'll be moving into 2 Samuel and so forth. So you can find it right there. I want to use three characters this morning in the Bible on the subject I'm going to talk to you about, kind of illustrate it and get to the truth of it. Questions comes up again, and I've answered this before. It's been a long time, I guess, but it's one of those questions that keeps popping up. And so again this morning we're gonna deal with it. Hear the question. I heard it ever since I was a kid. If you commit suicide, there's no hope. You're going to hell. There's no way to be saved if anybody commits suicide. Anybody ever heard that?
Yeah.
A lot of hands. That's some of what I call chimney corner scripture in the Bible. It's just not there, not right, not accurate. No matter what, how much tradition you've heard, that is not accurate. Now, I'll give you the reasons why it's not accurate this morning as we look at the scripture. But I've heard it, I used to hear mother say it. And now, there's a good motive behind it. Folks shouldn't do it. We're sad to hear when any do it. Amen. We ought to discourage it. And in the day and time we're living in, it's really made a big comeback in so many places. Even one of the leading causes of death in the military is suicide.
Right.
And you hear about it quite often. There's what we call mercy killings, and I understand the thing of people in terrible pain. I even understand a loved one wanting to alleviate the pain of I understand all. I'm not saying I don't understand it. I'm just saying it's we wish it didn't happen. We're against it happening. I also know it occurs sometime because folks have gone off mentally as far as the sickness goes, and they're just all kind of things you hear about. You've heard me joke about it a little bit before, but they say one of the largest groups, and by the way, money, popularity, and prestige don't stop suicide.
Amen.
In fact, it almost increases it.
Yeah.
You look at Hollywood. Yeah. Sometimes a Hollywood movie star that had fame and fortune and popularity and then lose it, can't stand it.
Right.
And then you hear about them trying to find peace in the dope pills and overdosing and all that business. That's all in the current news today, no doubt about it. And of course, we hear about the suicide bombers, the terrorists. And what is not recognized in Washington, in our administration, and even in our society today, that's a whole lot of difference in a suicide bomber and somebody that commits suicide because they mentally went off or in such pain they can't stand it. There's a whole big difference because their religion teaches them that's the surest shortcut to their heaven is to die, taking out infidels, unbelievers. We can't seem to admit that in the political circles today. But that's what motivates them. And there's a difference. Of course, they're so deceived and so wrong. And it does give us a picture, though, of how just in a common man's heart, he wants assurance of going to heaven, to the place that he'll believe a false teaching, that if I die taking out the enemy, I've got a sure track. The plane pilots that flew the planes into our towers, 9/11, they believe that. They believe that. If any of you caught any of Muhammad Ali's funeral, they tried to make it a big love fest of all the different religions of the world. And while some of them said a lot of good things about Ali, and maybe he was a good man in so many ways, you don't get to heaven by being good. And yet that was the theme pretty much at the funeral, was that Ali had earned his way. Nobody earns their way.
Amen.
But that was the theme of it. One guy said that his rent was already paid aforetime. Well, it was by Jesus, but not by him. Amen. If you get a chance, and Scotty, I may ask you to do this one of these days, because it's not my subject this morning. I got to get to it here. But Scotty's got a great testimony about where he sat and talked with Muhammad Ali quite a bit, talked to him even about being saved. If the man made it to heaven, it was not because he was a Muslim. If he made it to heaven, it was not because he'd done good deeds, and he did do good deeds. If he made it to heaven, it's because as a teenager, he walked the aisle in a Baptist church and professed to receive Christ as his Savior. And so I got off on that. I'm talking about the Muslims and suicide, though, the false teaching there about that. But I'm not going to deal with them in particular. I want to deal with the thought, if somebody commits suicide, did they seal their doom forever? And that's what I grew up as a kid hearing. And I think from all the hands I saw a while ago, a bunch of you, I did also. I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 31. I'm going to pick up the story of Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. He was a handsome guy, apparently, a great physique. He stood head and shoulders above the average men. Israel, trying to get out from under the rulership of God, looked around at the other nations and said, they've all got kings. How come we can't have a king? So they kept on pestering Samuel the prophet to give him a king. Samuel warned them, when you get a king, you're going to regret it. Like a lot of elections in America. Amen. Anyway, they kept on hollering about a king till God gave them one right between the eyes. And he did just what the prophet Samuel told him. He was a bad king. He started out good, but then he went bad. And we're going to read about his end. In his end, Saul committed suicide. Pick it up in chapter 31 here. Now the Philistines, this is the last chapter, 1 Samuel. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. Killed them all, according to this text. But then we read a little more detail about it. It says in verse 3, and the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was very sore wounded by the archers. Then said Saul unto the armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. In other words, torture me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. When his armor bearer saw Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. Now, if we read more detail, we're going to find out later that David is on his way back from fighting at the little place called Ziklag, and a young man stumbles into his camp, an Amalekite, and he comes in and he tells David the story that he's come upon Saul and Saul is not yet dead, that he's leaning on his spear, and Saul begs him, because he tried to kill himself and he's still alive, this young man tells David that he begged me to kill him. So I did. Well, David didn't like the story because Saul was God's anointed. And David had had the chance to kill Saul earlier when Saul was chasing him, and he wouldn't do it because he was God's anointed. Amen. David actually wound up having one of his men kill the messenger that came to him. But the point was, Saul tried to commit suicide, probably would have died of falling on his sword, but maybe was not quite dead when the young man came up and finished him off. I want the point for us to get here, and I'll drop one other thing with me. Back up in verse 1 of that I just read to you. It says, and the Philistines fell, I'm going to get it right, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gibeah. Now, you'll read later in 2 Samuel chapter 1, you'll read later, this is the place Saul died, on Mount Gibeah. Now, I jump on that just to say this. David, when he found out where Saul died, put a curse on Mount Gibeah. And the interesting thing, if you'll go to Israel today, remember this, Scotty? Remember when we pulled up in the bus, that first trip we made over there in 76, our guide pulled us up, we could see two mountain peaks. They stopped the bus, and he asked us about the mountain peaks. And I got lucky and named them for him. And one of them was Mount Gerizim, and the other one was Mount Gibeah. And the guide, who at that time was lost, Scotty won him to the Lord before the trip was over. But at that time he was lost. He was testing us Christians to see if we knew our Bibles, I guess. And he pointed out those mountain peaks. And he said, now look at that one. And look at this one and tell me which one is which. You can look at that one and right on the peak, right on the top, pretty good area up on the top of the mountain, was bald of all vegetation. No trees, no greenery, just bare up there. The other one, Mount Gerizim, green and trees and stuff like it ought to have. And the guide was asking us, why is one of them bare and one of them got the greenery on it? And I told him, I said, it's because that one's got a curse on it. It was put on there by King David because that's where Saul died, where he tried to commit suicide and finally died up on that mount. And it's an interesting thing to this day, go over and fly over it, go over and look at it at a distance, it still appears that way. And they do not know why nothing will grow on the top of that mountain peak. Well, David put that curse on it because of the place where Saul died. Now, here's the final end of Saul. Before Saul died, he did something else. He'd done a good thing as king. He'd done a lot of good things, a lot of bad things. You remember he didn't kill all the Amalekites he was supposed to. And when Samuel the prophet come to him and said, did you kill the enemy? He said, well, yes, but he lied. And Samuel said, then what meaneth the bleating of the sheep? He had kept the best. And he defied the Lord to the place that Samuel said God was actually repented of making Saul king. But here in his end, he knew the Lord had forsook him. Things were going bad. He was losing his battles. All kind of problems were happening. Jonathan, his son, who was a great friend of David and a great warrior, finally he's killed at this time too by the Philistines. But before he went into this battle, Saul wanted a word from the Lord. He wanted a message from God, and he couldn't get it. God had left him. God had forsook him. Samuel had forsaken him. Samuel was now dead. The prophet was dead. One of the good things Saul had done in the land, he'd put away the witches, those that had familiar spirits. He had begun to try to clean up things a little bit, but it was too late. He'd already crossed a line with God. And so Saul wanted a message. He couldn't get one. Samuel was dead. God wouldn't speak to him. He was in trouble. So Saul inquired of his cabinet, I guess you'd call them, where there might be a witch left alive. Now remember, he'd given the order to kill the witches off, to get rid of the bad crowd, but there were some still around because somebody had been paid off on the table, and that still works that way today, don't it? So some of his staff knew where to take him to a witch. So Saul disguised himself, and they went to visit the witch of Endor. And so when he came in before, he asked for her to bring Samuel back up. Remember the story?
Yes, sir.
And it's debatable as to what happened, but I think as the way the witch cried out, God got into it and may have actually let Samuel speak and asked Saul why he disquieted him. And Saul basically told him God wouldn't answer him no more. And so Samuel made a statement, and I'm just abbreviating this. Samuel made a statement to him that God was going to kill him, that he was going to die. And he made a statement this way. He said, "This time tomorrow, thou and thy sons will be with me." Now get the point. Be with me. Now, Saul killed himself. But wherever he went where Samuel was. Samuel was not in hell. He was probably in Abraham's bosom, as we talked last week a little bit about that. Paradise before it was removed. But Saul committed suicide, but he didn't go to hell. He went where Samuel was. Now we're just taking a story to make a point right there. And I want you to go to another character with me now. I want you to go to the character called Samson. Everybody remember Samson?
Yes, sir.
Probably the strongest man that ever walked on earth, humanly speaking. We read about him, and I'm not Mark, so go in your Bible. Go to the book of Judges. If you get to Joshua, go to your right. Let's look in Judges chapter 16, and we're going to read something about Samson. Boy, I love to read about Samson. You heard me say this before, but when I was a teenager and graduated high school, back right after Noah got off the ark, we did have a graduation. And First Baptist Church here in town, that's what it was called then, the old building's still up there, sent all the senior grads a little note, come by the church on Sunday morning or be in our services, we got a gift for you. I had gone to the church during vacation Bible school, and that was about it many years before. But I showed up on Sunday morning with a number of our seniors from the high school. And they had us come down the aisle, and they gave us a gift. The gift was a little Bible. It was printed by Collins. Of course, King James Version, that's all they had back then. That's before everybody had gone so liberal. And so they gave me a little Bible. It cost them $2 because I opened the fly leaf and I could see the price marked in there. And I appreciated it. I took it home. I didn't know one thing about the Bible. Didn't know one thing. I was a lost kid. Never heard the gospel. But I took that Bible home. Mother put it in the trunk. How many of you know what a trunk is? Big thing. Bigger than that communion table just about. That's where all the family material was kept, including where she put my Bible. Number of years later, it was still there. But I remember one night I came in, and quite a while after that, and I generally work hard all day, come in, promise myself all day I'm going to bed early tonight, so I won't feel this way tomorrow, but I wouldn't. I'd come home, clean up, get in that 55 Chevrolet and take off, and come in late, go to bed, wake up wishing I'd go to bed earlier. You ever done that? You know what the Bible says about that? It says it's vain to stay up late to rise up early. And it's true. Anyway, I come in one night and I said, "Mama, find my Bible. I'm going to read it." I had heard somebody talking about Samson, strongest man in the world, and I thought that ought to be interesting. Since I didn't know where to find it, I just opened the Bible that night. I did stay home, but I opened the Bible that night and started on page one like you would with any other book. I didn't get very far. I read a little bit I understood, and I started reading a bunch of stuff I didn't understand. Like so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and that's where I quit. I gave up that night. I never reached Samson. But Samson is an interesting story. Looking at it in Judges chapter 16, we remember the story. God raised him up to be a judge, to free Israel from the rule of the Philistines. He done a lot of great things. He killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. Amen. He backed up in the crevice of the rock, which is a type of Christ. He had no weapon but the jawbone of an ass, which is a fairly good club. But can you imagine all these men coming at him with shields and swords and spears? And yet he killed them, 1,000 of them, lived through it. He slew a lion that jumped on him. He could take the gates of the city and carry them on his shoulders. You remember the story of Samson, don't you? Samson had a flaw, though, and it was a female flaw. Ultimately, to shorten the story, we remember the story of Samson and Delilah.
Right.
Most expensive haircut there ever was.
Yeah.
I'm joking a little bit, but she pestered him finally. The Bible says it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a wide house with a nagging woman. Look it up, Proverbs.
Yeah.
Anyway, she nagged till he finally told her the secret, remember? The secret was his hair he'd never cut. And so you know the story how she cut his hair. It wasn't so much, I think, his hair as it was he broke his vow to God. And the enemy came, the Philistines came, and they blinded him. They put out his eyes. And they took him as a servant, as a slave. And the Bible says they made sport of him. Yeah, yeah, the Bible has the word sport in it. They made sport with Samson. You remember the story how that they made him grind at the mill. Here's the blind man. God had put him there to be the deliverer for Israel. High goal for Samson, but Samson's own lust and disobedience to God put him in such a spot. And here he is tied between the pillars of the temple when they're having a great big convention meeting of the Philistines and all the thousands that are there. And Samson was the sport. They make him grind at the mill and mock him because he'd been their enemy. He'd defeat them until he sold out to Delilah. And you remember how Samson prayed? He was strapped, chained between the pillars of the temple that held the whole balconies up. And he had a little boy there watching after him, and little boy told him where to put one hand and the other on the pillars. And then the Bible says with all of his might, but he prayed too.
Amen.
He prayed and he asked God to let him kill the enemy. One more time he prayed for strength and he brought the whole temple down. He killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life.
Yeah.
But he died with them.
Right.
And he knew he was going to die with them.
Right.
Yes, he committed suicide. In the truest sense of the word, he did. He committed suicide. And you read about it in Judges chapter 16. Pick it up about verse 27 through 30, somewhere in here. It says, verse 27, now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there was upon the roof about 3,000 men. Now that's on the top balcony on the roof. 3,000 men and women. And behold, while Samson made sport, and made sport of him, mocked him. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, but the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. So he knew he was fixing to die. Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So that the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Okay, you say, so Samson committed suicide. What's your point? Go with me. Well, I'm not even going to ask you to turn for time's sake. If you went to Hebrews chapter 11, we call that the Hall of Fame or the Hall of Faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it starts off identifying what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then God gives categorically a list of names of Old Testament heroes that were champions of faith. Do you know that he names Moses? He names a lot of those heroes, but one of them he names is Samson. So my argument would be, Samson did commit suicide. God allowed him to do it, gave him the strength one final time to bring the building down on him. Yet in Hebrews chapter 11, Samson's name is listed. I believe he went to heaven like a lot of folks will, ashamed he didn't do the job God wanted him to do. Missed his obedience to the Lord. There'll be a pile of people, I fear, that's going to go to heaven without the reward they could have had, right, had they been obedient and faithful. But did Samson lose, so to speak, his salvation, relationship with God? No, he didn't. Did he do wrong? Yeah, he done wrong. But God still lists his name as one of the champions of faith over in Hebrews chapter 11. So I'm making an argument by using three characters out of the Bible that people will sometime make the statement, well, if he committed suicide, there's no hope for him. I'm against it, but I'm also believe what the Bible says about it. Amen. And I believe we will see folks in heaven that committed suicide. I'm watching the clock a little bit. I'm going to tell you a story I know before I get to this last character. And I'm not trying to justify anything. But when I was a kid, I was very young. I must have been 7, 8 years old, maybe 9, somewhere in that area. I had an aunt on my dad's side, and one of his sisters. And when I was a little kid on the little old shack of the farmhouse, side of a clay road, she was the only lady I ever saw stop from the little old country church several miles down the road and invite us to go to church. We never went, but I remember her stopping. And I remember Mother saying this about her. She said, if there's ever a Christian woman, that's one. You know how the old folks would talk. Ever been anybody going to heaven, that lady is going. I'd hear Mother say things like that about her. Well, we had moved off. I think we were down here in Florida by that time. And a telegram come that she was dead. And Dad and Mom, I think, or at least my dad, went back to Georgia for the funeral. I don't clearly remember going as a kid. But I remember the story. She had had a beautiful little curly-headed daughter named Lolly. Lolly had died on the operating table. Should have been a simple tonsil operation, and she bled to death. And my Aunt Callie never got over that. Now, she had another little boy and girl, and I, about my age, and I remember them well, but she never got over little Lolly's death, her firstborn. And the time came, she died this way. People will say this is impossible. I heard it then, I've heard it since, and I wonder how it could be. But on a cold Georgia night, she wrote about a 3-page letter to her family and friends, how that she was going to heaven to see little Lolly, that's what we all called her, and that God had given her permission to do it. Now, mentally, maybe off. Never given any indication of any mental trouble. Hard-working country woman. She went out back of the house that night, and that was, ladies, that was back before automatic washers. If they had one at all, it was the roller, you know, where you stick it in, it squeezes it out. And they'd have these big tubs of water, and oftentimes they'd catch water off the roof as well as having to get it out of the well. And she went out on a cool night, left the letter where folks could find it, and stuck her head in a tub of water, cold water, and drowned herself. And folks say that's impossible. Doctors say when you strangle, you'll come up. But she didn't. They found her right there with her head in the water and that three-page letter telling exactly what her plans was, how she'd made peace with God about it. Now you say, what are you saying? I'm saying I don't know how it happened, but I really expect to see her in heaven. I really do. There's another character in the Bible I'll point you to in about 3 minutes here. His name is Judas. Judas. To hurry things up, in John chapter 6, Jesus said of Judas, he said, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Judas was never saved. He was a plant. He was a spy among the 12. He was of the devil. Bible is very clear on that. He did not get saved and lose it. So, truth is, though, Judas committed suicide. You know that? Matthew 27 says he went out and hanged himself. When he went back to the ones that had paid him the 30 pieces of silver, the devil had left him now. His conscience, his soul was bothering him. He'd betrayed innocent blood. And he went back and threw the money down. Remember? And they took it and bought a what we'd call a cemetery with it today, a graveyard. But anyway, Judas went out, the Bible says, and hanged himself. You'd also read about it in the book of Acts. But Judas committed suicide. Why? You say, well, he was a devil. Yeah, but the devil left him. Right. And that's when he committed suicide. And that's exactly what the devil does today. Yeah. He takes kids, he dopes them, he tricks them. Dope, alcohol, all kind of false teachings, and then the devil leaves them. And the human being part of Judas couldn't stand it when the devil left. He couldn't live with himself. And there are people today that commit suicide because of the atrocities they've been in that the devil led them. And he does everybody that way. He lies to them, he takes them along, then he deserts them. And the very human conscience of Judas couldn't stand it. And he went out and hung himself. And apparently the rope broke wherever he tied it, and he fell down, and the book of Acts says he burst himself asunder. Truth of the matter is, though, there'll be people in heaven, for whatever reason, committed suicide here. The whole key is, did they get saved in Christ before they committed suicide? We won't see Judas in heaven, I'll guarantee you that. He had his own place, the Bible says, he went to. But the truth is that if you get born again, you lose it mentally and commit suicide. If you're saved, you're saved. If you're born again, you're born again. If your name's written in heaven, it's written in heaven. And that's the wonderful truth. Be careful sometimes that folks don't mislead. If some of you are having a real bad time and you say, I'm just going to commit suicide and go into heaven. Don't do that at least until I go. I'm tired of having funerals. Now, while I'm joking with you a little bit about it, the truth is I don't want to face God before he calls me. I don't want to lose the reward that some lose when they try to play God themselves and take their own lives. And so we want to be very wise about that. All right, my time is up. We'll see.